Welcome again to Kansas City Actors Radio Theater. This is Walter Coppedge, and I'll be your host for this classic vintage episode from the 1930s, 1940s radio serial, Easy Aces, starring Sidney Garrett and John Rensenhouse as Jane and Goodman Ace. This is Jane Goes to a Psychiatrist. Easy Aces first premiered in 1930 in Kansas City on what was then the radio station KMBC. Goodman Ace, a film critic for the Kansas City Post newspaper, used to read comic strips on the radio. One night, when the cast of the radio program that followed Goodman's show didn't appear on time, Goodman Ace and his wife Jane chatted for 15 minutes about their bridge night, and Easy Aces was born. It continued its success for more than 20 years, moving first to Chicago and then on to fame and fortune in New York City. Easy Aces is brought to you by Kansas City Actors Radio Theater and by a store named Stuff, right here in the lovely Brookside Shopping District of Kansas City, Missouri. Many of you, I'm sure, have struggled mightily to find just the right gift for your friend whose birthday has surprised you, or that difficult in-law, perhaps. A store named Stuff has easy, fun solutions for gift-giving headaches. The friendly proprietors, Casey Simmons and Sloan Simmons, will greet you with a smile and match you with the perfect gift. And don't forget, a witty card as well. A store named Stuff is beloved by Jane Ace, who calls it the miracle on 63rd Street. So trot on over to Stuff or type astorenamedstuff.com into your electronic gizmo and shop online, whatever that means, and tell them Walter Coppedge sent you there.
Well, I tried to stop her, but Jane insisted she had to go to a psychiatrist. Psychoanalysis, you know, was developed by Freud late in the 19th century. Jane's interest in the couch started the other day when she met my boss's wife, Mrs. Norris, on the street, and they had a chat about psychoanalysis. It went something like this.
Well, Mrs. Ace, good morning.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Norris. Long face, no see.
Yes. Where are you going, my dear?
Just fine.
Well, how have you been?
Just up to the corner to match this material for a dress.
That's good.
I hardly recognized you, Mrs. Norris. It's that sweater you're wearing, I guess.
Oh, my sweater. Do you like it?
You look stunned.
My dear, I've never worn a sweater before I started going to my psychoanalyst. She told me my subconscious mind kept me from wearing it, and she made me get rid of my inhibitions. She did a good job on me, I can tell you that.
Oh, yes, she certainly fitted it well.
Her name is Dr. Montel.
Dr. who?
Montel, M-O-N-T-E-L. She adjusts all your mental conflicts. It's done wonders for me, my dear. Every night I offer up thanks for Freud.
For who?
Freud, F-R-E-U-D. He's the man who founded psychoanalysis. Oh, what Dr. Montel could do for you, my dear. Dr. Montel will tell you everything that's on your mind.
Well, all I have on my mind now is this material I want to get matched for a dress.
Oh, no. I mean, on your subconscious mind. Things you don't even know are there yourself. For instance, look at me and Jonathan. He's as devoted a husband as you'll find anywhere. And still, in spite of all his devotion, it has left me, shall I say, apathetic.
All right.
Last week, for instance, he said to me, Margaret, he said, you're certainly looking well. It was then I realized I had to go see a psychoanalyst because my subconscious mind said to me, yes, he thinks you look well now, but how long will he think you look well? That's when I went to see Dr. Montel. And what she has done for me, Dr. Montel told me what makes me tick. My dear, you simply must go to her at once.
Oh, first, I have to get this material matched for a dress.
Oh, I don't mean this minute. You'll have to make an appointment. Dr. Montel is so busy and such a lovely woman. You can see what she's done for my mental conflicts.
Yes, you're so cheerful and so ravenous looking in that sweater. Maybe I will go.
Tell her I sent you. Do you remember the name?
Oh, sure. Mrs. Norris.
No, I mean the doctor's name. Dr. Montel.
Oh, yes. F-R-E-U-D.
All through dinner that evening, I noticed there was something on Jane's, if you'll pardon the four-letter word, mind. And after dinner, she sat there staring into space. So I sat there staring into space. We stared into each other's space. And finally, she said,
"Dear, how do I look to you?"
"Vapid."
"Yes, but how long will I look that way?"
"Well, according to insurance statistics, your life expectancy is
no,
about..."
"No, you're getting off the subject. Do I look good to you? That's what I want to know. Now, come on, I want your candid opinion."
"Now, my candid opinion is that you look very sweet. Wonderful."
"Oh, my. I've got it, too."
"I beg your pardon. What have you got?"
"Mental conflicts. M-E-N-T-A-L.
Now, isn't that awful? What are you talking about?"
"I'm going to a psychoanalyst first thing in the morning."
"To a psychoanalyst? Jane, you amaze me."
"Not now, dear. Let me tell you why I decided to go to this psychoanalyst. This morning, I ran into Mrs. Norris."
"Hard, I trust."
"And she told me she's been going to Dr. Montell. And you should see what Dr. Montell has done for her. She's wearing a sweater."
"She went to a psychiatrist so she could wear a..."
"She got rid of all her exhibitions. And just now, when you said to me how wonderful I look, it left me, shall I say, apathetic."
"Apathetic?"
"A-P-A-T."
"No, no, no, will you stop spelling at me? I know apathetic, and you're not going to a psychoanalyst."
"Dr. Montell doesn't give you a medicine, you know."
"No, I know, I know."
"I tell Dr. Montell what's on my mind, and she tells me what's on my mind."
"Oh, Jane, she wouldn't have a target."
"Don't you understand, dear? When you told me just now I look wonderful, and I felt, shall I say, apathetic, that means something."
"It means you look wonderful."
"Yes, but how long will you think I look wonderful?"
"How long?"
"See, even you're beginning to wonder."
"No, no, no, I'm not. Jane, we have no money to throw away on foolishness like that. They're expensive."
"Yes, but look what she does for you. She told Mrs. Norris all about herself, told her what makes her thick."
"Jane, if you go to this doctor, you'll wind up in a straitjacket."
"Well, if she fits it for me as well as she did her sweater."
"Oh, she will, she will." So the next morning, Jane got up bright and early and went to see the psychoanalyst. The next morning, Jane got up early and went to see the psychoanalyst. The doctor was ready for her with pencil and couch.
"And you say Mrs. Norris sent you to see me?"
"Yes, she did, Dr. Montell."
"Mrs. Norris? Oh, yes. She had a deep-seated neurosis. Why will people permit their neurosis to become so deep-seated? If they would only come to me earlier."
"Well, you said 11:30, Dr. Montell."
"Mrs. Ayres, for your first visit, I'll take your case history. Are you comfortable on that couch?"
"Oh, this is fine, thank you. I like your office. Everything Mrs. Norris told me about you is certainly true, Dr. Montell. She said you were a lovely person."
"Really? Well, now..."
"And may I return the compliment and say I think you're attractive, too?"
"Well, now, so much for the doctor. Let's get to the patient. Tell me about yourself, Mrs. Ayres."
"Well, I wouldn't say I'm lovely exactly, but my husband thinks I'm..."
"Let's not discuss your husband for our first visit. Let's stick to you. Tell me, how do you feel, generally, I mean?"
"Well, physically, if you'll pardon the expression, I feel fine. But it's the mental conflicts that get me."
"What mental conflicts?"
"Like when my husband said last night that I look wonderful. My unconscious said, how long will I look that way?"
"Aha." "Something on the order of Mrs. Norris's anxiety neurosis. Well, I see I'll have to prescribe for you the same as I did for her."
"Yes, I guess so. Except that I want a much smaller size than she does."
"What?
What? What?"
Mrs. Ayres, tell me, how long have you had these thoughts when someone compliments you on your appearance?"
"Since I saw Mrs. Norris yesterday."
"Oh, then I'm sure yours is a mild case, and I can cure you in this one visit."
"But if I'm always going to say, how long, to myself..."
"You won't always say that. I'm sure you won't. Mrs. Ayres, I think you are a very charming woman."
"Well, thank you, Dr. Montell. I guess it's this new blouse I'm wearing."
"There, you see. You accepted my flattery without a single thought to the contrary passing through your mind."
"Yes, I did."
"You're cured, Mrs. Ayres. It was a simple case. You don't need a psychoanalyst, but I'm glad you got here when you did. Most people wait until it's too late."
Well, I'm glad I got here at the psychopathic moment.
Yes, and there are too many more important cases in these troubled... What did you say? When... You got here at what moment?
The psychopathic moment.
Psychopathic?
Yes. Well, goodbye, Doctor. How much do I owe you?
No, just a moment. Lie back, please.
What happened?
Say that again. You got here when? Say it.
Dr. Montell, you're scaring me. You're getting my bearings balled up.
Getting your what?
Doctor, let me up. You're making a mountain out of Muhammad.
A mountain out of Muhammad?
Is something wrong?
Lie back, Mrs. Ace. You're a most interesting case.
I am, huh? I had a tuition there was going to be trouble in the offering.
Tuition? Offering, yes. Most interesting. Mrs. Ace, there is some force at work on your mind, which telegraphs twisted and hastily visualized words to your tongue. What is that force? That's what I want to find out. In the interest of research, would you come to me for an hour every day and tell me the story of your life from as far back as you can remember? Just 1 hour every day. Will you come?
Sure, if you think I have to.
Yes. You're a very interesting case. We'll have our first hour now. Lie back, Mrs. Ace, and tell me the story of your life from as far back as you can remember.
Well, let me see. I'll start with my 5 years in high school.
4 years, Mrs. Ace.
Not me, Doctor.
That night, I refused to listen to anything Jane had to say about her visit to the psychoanalyst, but Jane found an interested audience in her mother, who is now living on us, with us. I ought to tell you about Jane's poor mother. She's in the last stages of a big appetite. She's been to every doctor in New York, including one veterinarian in Flushing. That was the day she said she was sick as a dog. And she takes dozens of different medicines, so when Jane mentioned having gone to a doctor, her mother looked up quickly and said...
So the doctor said you got psychoanalysis? Oh, it sounds exciting, Janie. Did she give a prescription?
No, Mother. She's not like the doctors that give you medicine and take x-rays and put you in an oxidol tent.
What kind of doctor is that?
She's a psychoanalyst. She cures the mental conflicts and she makes you happy.
Well, if it makes you happy to be happy, be happy. Personally, any doctor who won't give you medicine is a fraud.
That's right. F-R-E-U-D. She tells me what's on my mind. She can see right into my brain.
Mm-hmm.
Dear, now you stop that.
No, I didn't say anything.
Well, I don't like your altitude about this whole thing. Stay out of this.
Well, I don't like your spending money on psychoanalysis.
Money? After all, what is money for if not to spend on doctors? I mean, I always say it's better to be well for one day than sick for 2 weeks.
I'm not sick, Mother. Look, here's the whole thing in a nut house.
Just tell me about the doctor, Janie. She sounds very interesting.
A good question, Mother, and the answer is she certainly is. And the most attractive you ever saw, with an office to match. Tall, dark brown hair.
I've always wanted a tall office with dark brown hair.
And when she smiles, oh boy.
No teeth?
Dear, what did I tell you?
You said stay out of it.
Well, do it. Where was I?
The doctor, Janie. Does she have a regular doctor's office?
Oh, sure, like every doctor's office. Young nurse, old magazines. And you have to lie back on this couch she has there and talk to her. There's a table on either side of the couch. On one table, cigars. On the other, cigarettes. And she says to me, lie down and relapse. So I did. And Dr. Montell said, I want you to tell me the story of your life from as far back as you can remember. You can smoke if you want to, she said. So I took a cigar and started to talk.
Took a cigar?
It's in my bag. I'll give it to you later.
Oh, for me.
You see, I'm always thinking of you, and you sit there making sarcastic remarks.
So what did you talk to Dr. Montell about? Did you tell her where it hurts you?
Oh, no, Mother. I told her about what I did when I was in high school. It wasn't very interesting. She yawned a couple of times. But I can take a hint. So tomorrow when I go, I'm going to make up a story to tell her.
Make up a story?
Well, I'm certainly not going to sit there boring her for a full hour every day. So tomorrow I'm going to make up a story. She said it's a good thing I went to her as early as I did. Most people wait until it's too late. Like Mrs. Norris, for instance. Do you want me to become deep-seated like Mrs. Norris?
No, Jane, that I don't. Well, this is Friday, the day Jane hurried down to the psychoanalyst's office to continue telling Dr. Montell the story of her life. Only she noticed Dr. Montell yawn through most of the story she'd told yesterday, so today she has made up a lot of exciting things that didn't happen to hold Dr. Montell's interest. This is the day that will set back psychoanalysis 25 years, one which became known in medical circles as Black Freud Day.
That's it, Mrs. Ace. Just lie back and relax, and we'll take up where we left off yesterday. I hope we can do as well today as we did during our first hour.
Oh, this is going to be a thriller diller, Dr. Montell.
Yes. Let's take it from after your high school graduation.
Yes. Well, Doctor, oh, you're going to like this. It was the summer I graduated. The heat was on, and we were driving home from a party. Sally Anderson and I and two fellows. The fellow I was with later became Mr. Ace, my husband. You see, Sally and I always double dated. We've been insufferable friends for years.
Insufferable, aha.
Oh, yes, always together, like a couple of Simonized twins.
Simonized, yes. Go on.
Yes, ma'am. Well, we were in the car and one of the boys was driving. The one in front. I was in front with him. Sally was in back with the other one. We were singing and laughing. You know how school kids are, fool face and fancy free.
Fool face, uh-huh.
Yes, you know, just out for a good time. Not wild or anything like that. Or would you prefer wild?
What's that?
No, I guess you wouldn't. Well, we were driving along when alongside our car came another car. And in that car was another boy I used to go with, and he was jealous that I was out with Mr. Ace, who later became my husband. So I leaned over to Sally in the front seat and I said, "Isn't that Roy?" And she said,
"Just a moment, Mrs. Ace. You said before you were in the front seat."
Did I? Well, she leaned over to me in the front seat and I said, "Isn't that Roy?" Is that better?
Yes, I believe it is.
And Sally said, "Yes, I believe it is." Well, Roy was so mad I was out with Mr. Ace, who later became my husband, that he wasn't watching where he was driving, and he almost bumped into us. He looked kind of wild. Almost besmirk, you might say.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. So, Mr. Ace, the one who later became my husband, started to drive faster to get away from him. Vroom, vroom. And pretty soon we were both going so fast. Well, I'll tell you how fast we were going. We were 12 miles from town, and would you believe we made it in 8 miles?
You made it in 8 miles?
8 miles if I'm a day. And then, to clap the climax, we suddenly heard the whistle of a train coming around the hill. Oh, I forgot to tell you there was a hill around the bend, and we had to cross the tracks. But there we were, going like bats out of a belfry.
Belfry, yes.
And we were so fast we couldn't stop, and the train was going even faster. We couldn't hear the train whistle. Woo, woo! And we were going, oh, oh, and we all knew that this was the end. Oh, well, goodbye, Doctor. I'll see you tomorrow.
Oh, wait a minute. What happened?
My hour is up, Doctor. To be continued tomorrow.
Well, the story Jane made up out of whole wheat turned out to be a serial. While Dr. Montell was hurrying over to see her psychoanalyst, Jane rushed home to tell her mother and me what had happened on her second visit to the good doctor's office.
Well, dear, she didn't yawn today. I told Dr. Montell a story about being in a car with you, who later became Mr. Ace, my husband, and a train was coming around the hill, and it looked like it was going to hit the car. And then I stopped. Well, you could have knocked her over with a fender.
You mean to say you told Dr. Montell the story up to that point and walked out?
Well, I haven't figured up the finish yet.
Isn't that awful?
But Janie, I don't understand. Didn't the doctor even examine you for bruises you might have gotten in the accident with the train?
Oh, no, Mother. You don't understand. She isn't that kind of a doctor. She's a doctor for mental conflicts.
Mental conflicts? I never had those, Janie. Is it anything like dizzy spells?
Oh, no. Mental conflicts. It's for people who worry.
Worry? Who doesn't worry except my sister, your Aunt Wilma? She used to worry all the time, and then one day she decided to stop worrying, and overnight her hair turned brown.
Mother, maybe you better come with me to see Dr. Montell.
No, I lost track here, Jane. You're not going back there tomorrow.
Oh, I have to go back. I have to figure out a finish for that story and tell it to her. Wait a minute. Tomorrow I can't go. I took some material to the dressmaker the other day. I have to go for a fitting. Dear.
What?
You'll have to go in my place.
You want me to go be psychoanalyzed in your place?
Unless you want to go in my place to the dressmaker for a fitting.
Yes, I will go, Jane. I want to visit that doctor. Maybe I can help her. The next morning, I went to see Dr. Montell. Her office was just as Jane had described it, tall, dark, brown, and I was greeted by a nurse in a short leather seat at a desk.
Good morning. May I help you?
I want to see Dr. Montell.
Do you have an appointment?
Yes, 11 o'clock.
What's the name?
Mrs. Ace.
Oh, yes. I have it in my book right here. Mrs. Ace?
Mm-hmm. Jane Ace.
Oh, to be sure. Well, the doctor will see you in a minute. Won't you have a chair, Mrs. Ace?
Oh, no. you don't understand. You say, okay, thank you. I'll sit right here.
No, not right here. Over there against the wall.
Oh.
That's it, Mrs. Ace. Just relax. The doctor will be with you in a moment. Don't get excited. Don't be nervous. Everything's going to be all right.
I'm not excited. I'm not nervous.
That's right. Just relax. The doctor will buzz when she's ready for you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, you're looking well today, Mrs. Ace.
Oh, thank you. It's just this makeup.
Oh, pancake?
Oh, no, thank you. I just had breakfast.
The doctor will see you in just a moment, Mrs. Ace. Would you like to look at this magazine?
Yes, I don't mind.
No, don't get up. I'll slide it over to you across the floor.
Thank you. Oh, the Ladies' Home Journal, yes.
Yes, there are lovely new dress designs in this month's issue.
Oh, that reminds me. I wonder how I'm making out with that dress I'm having fitted over at the dressmaker's.
Oh, you're having a fitting at the dressmaker's later on, Mrs. Ace.
No, I'm over there being fitted right now.
The doctor will see you in just a moment, Mrs. Ace.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, I have to go to the dressmaker for everything. I just simply can't find my size in ready-mades. Even hose, I have to have them made special.
Me too, Mrs. Ace. And the nylons they sell you these days.
Oh,
the doctor will see you right now, Mrs. Ace.
Oh, now she sees me. This is psychoanalysis.
Go right in.
Thank you.
And remember me to Mr. Ace.
Mm-hmm.
Come in, Mrs. Ace. Well, I'm happy to... Who are you?
I'm Mr. Ace.
Oh, you're the one who later became Mr. Ace.
What goes on here? Yes, I'm Mr. Ace. She couldn't make it today.
Oh, no. I was hoping she would come. I've been on pins and cushions since she left. I've been going besmirk.
Besmirk?
I've been trying to write a paper on her history, but all my bearings are all balled up.
Oh, brother!
Even my husband can't understand what's happened to me, and we've been insufferable companions for years.
Murder!
I've always been so full-faced and fancy-free.
Look, Jane, I mean, doctor, I don't want my wife coming here anymore. Will you please tell her?
Not come here anymore? She built the story up to the psychopathic moment and then just walked out. She's got to tell me what happened. You are in the car. You can tell me. You were speeding along in your car. Vroom, vroom. The train was coming around the hill. Woo, woo. You couldn't stop. The train couldn't stop. What happened?
We were killed.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Ace. Oh, thank goodness. You took a load off my... You were killed?
Look, doctor...
Interesting case. Lie down, Mr. Ace.
What, me?
Very interesting. Now, I want you to tell me the story of your life from as far back as you can remember.
Well, I was born in a Wild West show at the age of 3.
Aha!
That doctor will never forget that hour if she lives to be 12 years old. I fixed her wagon because the very next day in Dr. Montell's office...
That's right. Just lie back comfortably and relax. Now, I want you to continue the story from where we left off.
Well, after we got out of the train wreck, the boy who later became Mr. X, my husband... Dear, please, you're pushing me off the couch.
Well, move over, Jane. I gotta have some room.
Move up a little. The palms of your feet are hanging over the edge of the couch.
Well, I can't move over. You push over a little.
I can't. There's no room.
Well, somebody's gotta move.
All right, children, if it makes you happy for me to move, I'll move.
This episode of Easy Aces was brought to you by Kansas City Actors Radio Theater and by a store named Stuff. The next time you're in need of a clever gift for that demanding friend, first ask yourself, why am I friends with this annoying person? And then get yourself over to a store named Stuff in Brookside. Kansas City Actors Radio Theater is also made possible by support from donors like you and our program sponsors, which include Theater League, the Muriel McBrien Kaufman Foundation, the Estelle S. and Robert A. Long Ellis Foundation, the Miller Nichols Charitable Foundation, the Missouri Arts Council, and the Richard J. Stern Foundation for the Arts, with special thanks to Mark and Valerie Andrus. If you'd like to help make Kansas City Actors Radio Theater possible, visit kcactors.org and click on the red Support Us button to learn how. This episode was directed by Darren Sextrow, with sound design by Thomas Newby. It starred Sydney Garrett as Jane Ace and John Rensenhouse as Goodman Ace, featuring Nedra Dixon as Mother, David Hall as a nurse, Cinnamon Schultz as Dr. Montell, and Kathleen Warfel as Mrs. Norris. Join us again next Friday, same time, same location, on KKFI 90.1 FM. This and all episodes of Kansas City Actors Radio Theater can be downloaded on the Kansas City Actors Theater podcast wherever you consume your podcasts. I'm Walter Coppedge, your host, and I'll be looking for you both in and out of the theater. So stay healthy and stay tuned.
Over the next few months, Kansas City Actors Theater is presenting our virtual Brouhaha series, consisting of multiple interactive and remote events to support KCAT and Kansas City Actors Radio Theater. Now, you've missed the wine tasting event, I'm sorry to say, but next up in the series is a home-delivered meal and virtual cooking demonstration on November 19th, hosted by KCAT artist Jan Rogge and featuring the culinary professionals at Lawn Lane's Inspired Occasions. In December, join us for a one-time-only virtual live original holiday play featuring your favorite local actors. And in January, join KCAT's artists for a virtual cocktail party and roundtable discussion sponsored by Tomstown Distillery. Get more information on the complete series and order tickets at kcactors.org.